Welcome back to our study of Revelation. We are in chapter 17, and we're going to pick up this evening with verse 10. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. When he comes, he must continue a short space.
Now note this, the seven heads also refers to seven powers. Five have fallen, one is, and one is not yet come. When the seventh comes, he must stay for a duration. Now, I can't explain all that to you other than what's written. And I just read it to you, okay? But, look at Jeremiah 51. Verse 24 through 26.
Okay.
There's a parallel here. I just want you to see the parallel.
And I will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil that they have done in Zion in your sight, said the Lord. Behold, I am against you, O destroying mountain, said the Lord, which destroys all the earth, and I will stretch out my hand upon you, and roll you down from the rocks, and will make you a burnt mountain. And they shall not take of you a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations, but you shall be desolate forever, said the Lord.
Now, if you look at Jeremiah, he's talking about this, the Babylonians that have come against Israel, take Israel into captivity. In captivity 7 years, Babylon is the world power under Nebuchadnezzar that was its peak, and it stayed there for a while. Okay, and so it's like a type or a shadow of what this is all about. It was world ruling, but it said you're coming down. And this is what he's saying to this that's sitting on seven hills. You're coming down, and you will be utterly destroyed. And if you're in it, you go down with it.
And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goes into perdition.
So although there's only seven heads on this dangerous animal, we can learn from this verse that there's actually eight sovereign powers that will rule, but one of them is a revived power. And so the eighth power to rule will be revived from one of the seven former powers. And the eighth or the revived power is represented by the head that received a mortal wound and recovered. And I believe this is talking about where the Roman Empire went down and the Roman Empire was revived through the Roman Catholic Church. The civil system went down. The ecclesiastical system has revived and will have great influence, the power of even with influence in civil systems.
And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast.
And so the ten horns, he said, these have not yet received their kingdom, but although they are rulers, they're sovereign, you know, they're authoritative people, okay, with influence. And they will receive authority as sovereigns for 1 hour. Now, what is that 1 hour? I don't know. And I'm not going to speculate. Okay? But it's a short period of time. I do know that. In association with the dangerous animal. And so they will be collaborating with this dangerous animal. That's how they'll receive their power, their authority. Okay?
These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast.
Now that just tells me that they'll be united and they'll become a ruling body through this union. and they're going to give the authority that they have over to this, what King James calls the beast, or to this dangerous animal, okay?
These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful.
Now listen to this. These 10 sovereigns that have this authority, they have one opinion. They give their power to the dangerous animals, and then they're going to battle against the Lamb as a unified force. Who's the Lamb? This is Jesus Christ. And the Lamb will subdue them because He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. But notice there's some with Him. They're invited. They've been selected. And they're trustworthy. The ones that are going to be with Jesus will meet that criteria. The invitation's been given, it's been accepted, and because you've yielded to the invitation and done what you're to do, you're hand-picked, you're chosen, you're selected. Why? Because you're worthy of trust. Amen? Amen. I'm going to tell you, the thing that I've found since I've been in the ministry, which is many years, is very few people are worthy of trust. You can't confide in them. You can't trust them to do things. And so is God going to select someone He can't trust? Now think about what Paul said. I thank God that He counted me, the King James Version says faithful, but if you look at the definition, He counted me trustworthy. God saw me worthy of trust to commit this apostleship to me. You with me? How does God view you? Are you faithful to God? Are you worthy of trust? Will you stand for God regardless of opposition? Think about it.
And He said unto me, the waters which you saw where the whore sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues.
So He identifies how this prostitute's operating. It's sitting on the waters, and that's a multitude of people, races and languages. The prostitute is getting its desire, her desire, through all types of races, all types of people, nations, languages, whatever. You see the interaction with this mother church, so to speak.
And the 10 horns which you saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire.
Now this is interesting, because it appears to me that these 10 authorities or civil authorities, they're going to work in agreement with the ecclesiastical. But then they're going to turn on the ecclesiastical and totally destroy the ecclesiastical. So Mother Church will go down.
For God has put in their hearts to fulfill His will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled.
So God's put it in their heart and they're going to fulfill the will of God.
And the woman which you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth.
Now let me ask you, what city would meet those qualifications to rule over the kings of the earth? There's only one. And you think about it, there's only one. And at the time John saw this revelation, who ruled the world? Rome. And so it appears that the great city that rules over the sovereigns of the earth refers to the city of Rome, or specifically Vatican City, which is spiritually called Babylon, which means confusion. That'll take us into chapter 18.
And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory.
Now look at the contrast. So after he's shown the prostitute on the dangerous animal and was told what it symbolized, he saw another angel coming down from heaven with great authority. Now note, the earth is illuminated with the glory.
And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, in a cage of every unclean and hateful bird.
Now, that's interesting to me, too. Babylon the Great has fallen. Now, it's become the dwelling place for demons. Well, they're there now, right? They're going to stay there, but the people are not going to be there. It's going to be the demons that are there, right? And everything that's impure and everything that's detestable is going to be at that place of confusion.
For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through abundance of her delicacies.
So all races, kings of the earth, they've drunk of the wine of her passion of the harlotry. In other words, they've been in the bed with this whore, if you will, interacting for money. You with me? And so they've indulged in her unlawful lust, whatever she's trafficking. And through the power or through the means of her luxury or her expensive lifestyle, they become wealthy. Now, here's what is so amazing, because many of the people in the system take a vow of poverty. And so the people have nothing, but the church is wealthy, wealthy, wealthy. So the people don't need anything. Whatever they need, they're serving the church, so, you know, the church feeds them, clothes them, or whatever. Pretty amazing.
And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you are not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues.
You know, back years ago, I was in the hospital for an extended period of time, and one of the nurses was a Catholic nun. And for those who knew my brother, he was a different breed. And he got to talking to her, questioning her, and she had taken a vow of poverty, and so her paycheck as a nurse did not go to her. Her paycheck went to the church. And Howard tried to talk her into sending his paycheck to him, you know, if she didn't need the money. Anyway, thought that might amuse you.
Yeah.
So what does John say? Come out from among her. Come out of her. Get out of that system or it'll destroy you. Do not participate in her sins so that you do not become a recipient of her calamities. Now, God makes his appeal to people to come out of the city of ecclesiastical rule. Come out of there. And those who refuse to separate themselves from this ecclesiastical system will be destroyed with it. It's an absolute.
For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities.
Now a request is made. Recompense to this great whore, this prostitute, recompense to her according to her works. In the same measure that she gave, compensate her. As a matter of fact, give her double portion. And that the fate she has brought to others, let it be recompensed back to her twofold.
Verse 7. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she said in her heart, I sit a queen and am now no widow and shall see no sorrow.
So the request is made that she, Babylon, Mother Church, be recompensed according to her works in the same measure that she had compensated, even a double portion. Now, goes on to say, as she esteemed herself and she's given herself to luxury, in the same manner she would be given torment and grief because, now I want you to listen to this, in her heart she said, I sit as a queen, I am not a widow, and I will not see sorrow. In other words, I am invincible. That is the attitude of that mother church. I'm invisible. We're in the place of Jesus. So who's going to overthrow us? Jesus.
Verse 8. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her.
So in one day she will experience calamity, death, grief, and famine, and will be totally consumed with fire. Why? Because powerful is the Lord who judges her. You just think your power. You don't know what power is.
Verse 9. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning.
And so when all these kings of the earth see this, they will cry and lament, because they've indulged in this unlawful lust and they've given themselves to luxury through all this interaction. And now it's all gone. Their source is gone. And so it'll upset them.
Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come.
So they're going to be away from her at a distance because they fear her torment. And they'll say, woe to the great city of Babylon, or the mighty city. In one hour, your judgment has come.
And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise anymore.
Now, I've heard it said, well, that can't be Vatican City because there's no ocean around there. He didn't say anything about an ocean. Just because things come by ship doesn't mean that the owners of the ship and the leaders and all are on the ship. You're going to find that they cast dust on their head. Well, they didn't get that from the water. You follow me? You've got to read all of it and listen to what it's saying. What are they doing? They're standing afar off, and you look at the technology today through television and the internet and all that. I mean, you see what's going on all over the world. You don't have to be there. You can be a great distance away.
Sorry.
And it bother you if that's been your source of income. Okay?
I'm sorry, y'all. Forgive me. I didn't mean to do that. Verses 12 and 13. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet.
So who's going to buy their products? I don't think there's a person anywhere that has any concept of the products that go through that organization. The money that's spent. We won't even talk about the money that comes in. You with me? And so the merchants are going to be weeping because they're losing their source of revenue.
Where are you?
Hmm?
I think I'm a little behind you or ahead of you.
You ahead or behind?
I don't know.
Which verse?
12? Okay.
Just jump in there and read and I'll catch up with you.
Okay, I'm going to read 12 and 13 together. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and firewood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men.
No, we were together. I just mentioned some things. I mean, it says that they didn't have anybody to buy the products, and this is just defining the products that this organization has been buying. But get down to the bottom.
Okay.
What does it say? Human trafficking. Lives of people. Slaves.
Yeah.
I'm telling you there's so much stuff going on before you, right under your nose, you don't even realize it. And look who's involved in it.
And the fruits that you sow, that your soul lusted after are departed from you. And all goods which were dainty and goodly are departed from you. And you shall find them no more at all.
And so all this stuff is going to leave them. It's going to be totally destroyed. Expensive, magnificent things destroyed. And you won't be able to find these items. You know, I've looked at a little bit of what's going on right now in, you know, with the Israeli-Hamas war and how Palestine, especially Gaza City, has been just devastated. Now, you think about all the businessmen and all the wealth and all the interaction that's going on. They lost it all.
Mm.
You understand? They lost it all. And that's what's going to happen to this system. Same thing. It says it'll happen in a day. It'll all be gone. I'm telling you, with the weapons we have right now, you can wipe something out in a day.
The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing.
Grown men crying, why? These greedy men have lost their source of income, have lost their wealth. Now, how are we going to keep the business afloat? Because this is who was giving us all our revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, they'll be crying.
And saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls.
That's an excellent description of Vatican City.
Mm.
When you look at it with the linen, purple, crimson color, gold articles, valuable stones, pearls. Okay.
For in 1 hour, so great riches is come to naught, and every shipmaster, and all the company in ships, and sailors, and as many as trade by sea, stood afar off.
Now I'll show you something here. If you go back to verse 18, it says in one day, she's going to experience all these things and totally consumed with fire. Here it says 1 hour, so it appears that 1 hour is referring to a day. Okay. Now, in 1 hour, all these great riches are laid waste. And all the captains of the ships, the associates, the sailors, all those who rely on the sea for their income, it doesn't say they're on the ship, it just says they stand afar off.
Mm.
Why? They can't unload their ship. There's nobody to buy. They cry when they see the smoke of her burning.
And then they said, what city is like unto this great city?
And then, let me ask you, what city is like to that city?
Verse 19. And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea, by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she is made desolate.
Now just read the context and just think. These merchants threw dust on their heads in sores. They cry aloud, weeping and grieving, saying, woe, woe to the great city wherein all who had ships in the sea were made rich. It doesn't say they were on the ships. In other words, they were exporting to them, okay? Importing, they were getting rich off of her expensive retail. In 1 hour, she's laid waste. Or 1 day.
Verse 20.
Laid waste, destroyed.
Rejoice over her, you heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her.
Now here again, just pay attention. Heaven, the holy apostles, and the prophets are exhorted to rejoice over the destruction of Babylon. Now listen, because God has judged her on their behalf. This Babylon, this confusion, and here again, Babylon being an epithet. This is the ones that killed the prophets, that killed the apostles, that persecuted the true church.
Okay, let's look at verses 21 through 23. And a mighty angel took up a stone with a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in you. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he shall be found any more in you. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more in all of you. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in you. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in you. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. For by your sorceries were all nations deceived.
Let me just sum it up by saying this. All craft, everything will cease because of the annihilation. And the purpose and the reason for that annihilation is because of that, of the illusions of the way they deceived all races of people. And God's going to destroy it to where all activity ceases. All activity. Totally destroyed.
And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth.
There we go. Here I go back again. You check the history, you check, and you'll find that it's the Catholic Church that's been responsible for killing. It's the religious system. Even in the biblical days, it was the religious system that was killing the prophets. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you study the early history, especially if you start studying the history of the Bible, you'll find that it's the Catholic Church that's killing all the people that are trying to get the Bible in a language people can understand. So, in the cities found the blood. The blood's on their hands.
Mm.
So, the name Babylon is translated from the Hebrew word Babel, which means confusion. It's also translated from the Greek word Babylon, and it represents a type of tyranny. And it is Semitic, in its Semitic form, Babalu, which means the gate of God. If you're going to get to God, you have to come through us. Isn't that what the church said? Isn't that what the handbook says?
Mm-hmm.
So any religious system that depicts itself as the only way to get to God is either directly or indirectly identifying itself as the gate of God. And that would be the source of confusion for many people. And it is anti-Christ. Okay? That might be a good stopping place right there before we get into this 19th chapter.
Alrighty.
You guys okay with all that? Is it opening your eyes to anything? I'm telling you, I've been in the system of religion for several years. I know what goes on in the meetings, and I know the politics. And I've sat at tables with ministers that shock me of what's coming out of their mouth. And I'm finding that they're in it for themselves. They're not in it for God. They're not interested in the sheep. They're interested in what the sheep can do for them. And you read this in Jeremiah and Ezekiel. God has a rebuke for them. I'm going to raise me up people who will care for the people, care for the sheep, shepherds that will care for the sheep. You with me? God's going to purge things. But God's will of justice runs slow and it's in His time. But it will not stop. And so nobody is getting by with anything. Okay? That's why we'd better do it God's way. And don't be intimidated by pressure that comes against you. And I can tell you this by experience, because we've had a lot of pressure, a lot of opposition, a lot of accusations since we've been in the ministry. But one thing that's kept me stable and established is I know without a shadow of a doubt God said for me to do it. And that's where I stand on. And so if nobody agrees with it, I'm going to teach it anyway. Because that's what my mandate is. And then the chips can fall where they may. Because I know God's just and God's fair. And I'd rather please God and the people hate me than to not please God and the people let me. So stay with God. Father, I thank You that You bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make Your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up Your countenance upon us and You give us peace. So Lord, we invite You to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen. You guys have a great rest of the week.